The tribulations, isn't that something that happened in Ireland?
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't there, man. Tired.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Hey everyone, it's episode 375. We're a quarter of the way away from episode 400, and I'm joined by Seth Buzzard.
Hey.
Hi there, how's it going?
Hi, I'm exhausted.
Oh.
We were moving all weekend, and then out kind of late last night. And I haven't had very much time to rest.
I've barely been sleeping because of this throat thing. I keep waking up every 4 hours coughing.
Yeah, that's never cool.
Half the time I just get up and then I sort of fall asleep for 20 minutes in the middle. Like, I ordered in pizza today. I ordered in self-pity pizza today. I had four pieces and I watched some YouTube and then I just started falling asleep in my chair.
Nice.
Went and lay face down on my bed for 20 minutes and then I got your DM.
Did you watch any conspiracy theory videos?
No, I turned on a Patrick Klepek video about Soma.
Oh.
And then
what's that?
Soma's
is that a drug.
Yeah, it's some of that. It's a fresh new drug. You gotta light up some Soma and then just slap it into your skin and it goes in through the pores.
Weird.
Like under your cheeks, just like pep 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 pep. It's real good. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sucking on a lozenge right now, so my apologies if you occasionally hear a little bit of a. I'm going to try to actually not do that specific really loud thing while we're recording, but...
Yeah, you're sick, I'm tired, this is going to be a fun show to listen to.
All right. Let's talk about how much we love Transformers. I've noticed even when we're the most fatigued and tired and grumbly, we still end up not really taking it out on our source material. So, pats on the back all around, everybody. Yeah,
good for us.
Pats on the back. Ah,
we're pretty great.
We're pretty good. So there's this Transformers Combiner Wars animated digital series coming out, via Machinima, and we got some creator names, revealed, people who are working on this show. Let me see if I can, here it is. Yeah, we got Eric S. Calderon, FJ DeSanto, and then the big one for me, George Kurstick. Eric S. Calderon. Is actually, I only really know George Kurstick. The other two guys, I've seen stuff they've done, but I don't know them by name all that well. But I'm also probably pronouncing their names completely wrong, so, you know, go me. But Eric S. Calderon has worked on shows like Afro Samurai and, well, not show, but the movie Beavis and Butthead Do America. FJ DeSanto has worked on projects like Cyborg 009. And George Kurstick is, of course, the co-creator of Mega's XLR, among other things he's worked on. George Kurstick knows robots. I interviewed him at a BotCon a couple of years ago, and dude has a passion for the kind of stuff that I would hope one would have a passion for if you're working on Combiner Wars. This also comes on, I don't know how old the news is, but I caught the tail end of some big thing about Machinima taking like Microsoft payoffs and getting people to make pro-Microsoft YouTube videos. The upside of that is I don't think that will have like anything to do with our Transformers cartoon we're getting, but it made this news item really weird for me to read right after hearing about that.
Optimus Prime, I just downloaded Windows 10. Good job, Ironhide. That operating system will make Teletran 1 way more functional.
Menasor's using an iPad.
Oh, no.
He's evil.
Quick, hack into the Decepticon servers with her... Surface tablets.
Surface is a superior tablet experience. Isn't that right, Ironhide Prime? The one thing this really confirms is by having like three creatives who have worked in animation before, I am now more convinced that this will not just be a motion comic. So now I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to be doing. Seth, what are your thoughts on these reveals? Do you know any of these names or are they all kind of new to you?
Well, I'm more familiar with things they worked on. So, like, it's like, oh, we're doing this animated thing. It's like, cool, what's the art style going to be? I don't know. Let's see who the artist is and what they've done before. Afro Samurai and Beavis and Butthead couldn't be very much more different in art style. So it's like, I don't know. I guess it could be anything from super low budget TV animation to anime.
Yeah, I'm still prepared for this to be a CG cartoon, given that it's, you know, digital release and it's probably going to be done with the hopes of getting it out sooner than later. But yeah, I have, like, now I know there are good names attached to it. Other than that, I still actually have no expectations. It's just that now I'm pretty sure it's going to be like original animation, and that's kind of exciting. But yeah, I was really surprised to see George Kurstick involved, because like I think he's wanted to work on something Transformers to add that to his repertoire, because he's been working on the Clone Wars animated series,
yeah,
and was real jazzed about having anything to do with Star Wars. And he's been to, I think, a couple BotCons now, maybe just one or two. Mm-hmm. And he really thought it was cool, because he was at a Pasadena one. So it's one of those cases where the people who all work in animation live there, and it's not that hard for them to like get to a California convention. Yeah. And yeah, I can only expect that he's pretty excited to be adding Transformers to his resume. Well, yeah, deserved.
I guess XLR had a pretty loyal following.
Oh yeah.
And I've only seen a little bit of Clone Wars, but I know a lot of people who swore by especially the later seasons.
Yep.
So, I mean, that a lot of... I mean, it seems to bode well for this project having these people involved.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I wasn't a huge fan. Like, I watched Afro Samurai. I wasn't a huge fan, but the animation was really good.
Yeah, I only kind of remember what happened in it, but I remember finishing it and thinking that was cool. I don't think I'll watch it a second time, but that was really cool.
Yeah, like I enjoyed watching it enough, but it was a similar thing where it's like, okay, well, that's done. I don't feel like I need any more of it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're gonna just like, you know, buckle our seatbelts and see where this Combiner Wars train goes. I'm happy to see also like, you know, nameable creatives working on it, because I think that it's going to be it's going to be happening underneath all of the fifth movie and you know, cinematic universe stuff. So I think it's also going to be left pretty well alone to do what it wants to do for however long it gets to last. Like, it might only be like 3 episodes, but I got a feeling like it's going to be, excuse me, first cough. I got a feeling like it's going to be for a Transformers project pretty unmeddled with. Mm-hmm. For whatever they want to do. Anyway, that's your Combiner Wars update. Seth, let's talk about new picture picks and what you might have that's picked.
How about a silhouette?
Everybody loves silhouettes. What third party is this?
Takara, the most third party.
The thirdest party.
I guess there's a new Hot Rod Masterpiece, I guess. At least the silhouette appears to be different enough that everyone's convinced that it's a new Masterpiece.
Yeah.
So in the write-up, so it suggests that it's going to be coming out after Ironhide, and that he'll be in scale with other Masterpiece Autobot cars. And if I remember right, the Hot Rod car mode is kind of huge compared to the more modern Masterpiece cars.
I mean, you mean on the existing Masterpiece Rodimus?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's enormous.
Yeah. So that also lends itself to being a different mold. And now I haven't really messed with that mold in quite a while. It's all put away. But I don't remember the proportions quite being like the silhouette here.
Oh no, they were much slimmer and taller.
Yeah, he looks. Well, this silhouette makes him look really kind of top heavy.
I think
he's got a beefy chest and long arms.
So if you look at it, the wedge sticking out on the left side looks like it's like the flap for his chest, and then the part on the right side, excuse me, that's number two. Is sticking out a bit lower. I think that's part of his backpack. So, I don't know. I think the silhouette's kind of pulling an optical illusion.
Well, his arms still look pretty beefy compared to his legs.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. Hopefully, you could look at them from the side and not feel bad about your purchase.
Yeah, well, he's definitely going to be more compact because the write-up that comes with him in that magazine scan definitely is naming Prowl specifically. And it says something about Prowl. Wow, this is really hitting me. And the real car series. So I think he's going to be like, you know, like Prowl, Sideswipe, and Wheeljack. Like that's going to be his size class. There was something bouncing around on Twitter claiming that Hasui was going to be working on this one, but I've seen no confirmation, and I don't know what Hasui's name looks like in kanji, so I can't tell if it's in that magazine thing. But a couple weeks ago, we did have it confirmed that Trax and Ironhide are by Kobayashi, not Hasui. Hasui's moved on to, I believe, the next Transformers movie line. So the guy who worked on Masterpiece from MP10 up through Wheeljack, and I think Bumblebee, has not been working on Trax or Ironhide. And it really shows on Ironhide. So I'm curious if this hot rod is going to have many like aesthetic similarities design-wise to Prowl and Sideswipe, or if it's going to be more Trax and Ironhide-ish.
Trax blends in a little bit better, I think, from what we've seen in pictures. Ironhide does look a tad more noticeable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and you can't really judge too much by a silhouette. It's silly. But speaking of the old cars, or the Hatsui cars, they're hey, man, you want a blue streak?
I know a whole lot of people on my Twitter feed who do. And did, and bought them.
Yeah, and it looks cool, but I really, really like the original Blue Streak that came out. The colors were just so nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Blue Streak is for the Diaclone variant people and people who have a real attachment to the, you know, the mythology of Blue Streak.
Yeah.
As a toy.
I mean, Blue Streak looks more like what, at least in my mind, Blue Streak is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
But I really like the grays and reds in that original release.
Yeah. And this is the third Masterpiece Blue Streak, because there's also an all-silver one who's like Masterpiece Silver Streak. So there are now more Masterpiece Blue Streaks than there are Masterpiece Bumblebees in the Masterpiece line.
Yeah, and if you count Prowl and Smokescreen as being the same mold.
Oh yeah, if you want to do that, then there's five of them, basically. Yep. And there will soon be three Bumblebees, so Bumblebee is catching up. But
well, there's going to be four Sideswipes.
It's true.
We talked about that last time.
I'm thinking now. Yeah, mold wise, you're right. Like just going by names, like name alone, there are three Blue Streaks and soon to be three Bumblebees. So right. those two slipped some money under the table to somebody specifically. They were like, "Hey, get me into this Masterpiece thing."
Like, I didn't realize we were counting character name and not uses of the mold.
Yeah, uses of the mold. The Fair Ladies are still kicking everyone's butt thanks to this guy.
Not by so much. I mean, this gets them back out in head of the Lamborghini Sideswipe mold.
So now they got to do deep cover and get the Lamborghinis back up there.
Yeah.
Or
come up with a whole new character, some goofy Decepticon or something.
Yeah. I think Blue Streak looks great, and I actually was going to get him a couple months ago, but once he actually was coming out, there's other stuff I wanted to put that money towards. Uh-huh. So I let it slip by, and he's still in stock everywhere, so it looks like I have nothing to worry about for at least a couple months. The group shots of him, not the group shots in our photo gallery on our site with the four of them is pretty cool, but on Twitter there's some group shots that have silver Blue Streak in there as well. And the team of five of them just have this like awesome like Strike Force kind of aesthetic because you can, you know, have like one in the middle and two on either side.
Uh-huh.
And there's something about that I really like. Also, my throat seems to have stopped constricting. And that's good because that way I can bring up my own new picture pick.
Okay.
And my new picture pick is a third party, a Masterpiece alike that I'm kind of excited about. This is DX9's Tyrant. This is actually the second Masterpiece Galvatron in the unofficial market that's been announced. Given that two of these have been announced in the last couple months and we just got a silhouette for an official Rodimus, it's pretty realistic to assume that perhaps Takara Tomy is planning on doing Galvatron sometime in the next year and a half or so. But I really like DX9's stuff just in general. So yeah. I'm still kind of eyeballing this guy. I think the head actually looks way better in this color prototype, because in the renders, his head sculpt had a lot of the DX9 cheekbone weirdness going on, which I just always assumed was their, you know, in-house style, and I'm okay with it. But I definitely am happier to see a bit more of a Galvatron cheek setup. He's got a bit of a barrel chest, and his fingers look weird, but something about his just colors and his like shape that I really enjoy. And I'm also a big sucker for cartoon Galvatron, so I'm eyeballing this, and I'm hoping it turns out well.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'm still waiting to see how my finances shake out.
Yeah,
with the move in happening, so I have to be careful with third party stuff because it's so much more expensive.
Oh yeah, I mean the thing that's helping me, like I say, all the stuff that I'm eyeballing it because I'm not really pre-ordering anything aside from like the pocket size stuff that I really like, because none of this stuff goes out of stock for a long time anymore, so I can just wait till it comes out and see how it turned out.
Yeah,
and plan from there. But I like how it looks. The X-Transbots one looks pretty cool too. I'm just still not 100% sold on dropping three figures on an X-Transbots piece. Yeah. Apollyon definitely is a marked improvement, but there are still enough cases of people needing to get their Apollyon tweaked up that I'm kind of like, I don't think X-Transbots has quite gotten to the level they need to be on build-wise reliably. And DX9, their stuff is built pretty well, but they also have like a particular kind of puff to their designs that I sort of like, that makes their designs kind of unique to me. They don't get like the fingers, they look weird, but they also don't look skeletal. They're kind of like puffy sausage fingers. And yeah, something about the puff of the whole design, like, kind of it tweaks something, because it doesn't look a lot like other things out there. A lot of other third parties go more for hard angles or skinniness or slimness. And I don't know, something about the slight puff makes him look kind of animate to me.
Well, it looks like his tank tread things are rubber. Are they?
Are they?
Because in the, I'm just scrolling through all the pictures, and there's a point where you get back to those prototype pictures, and he just has wheels on his back. There's no tank tracks.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That'd be kind of cool. Like, I don't know that I would really get too much out of that.
Yeah.
But
that's neat. It's an added detail that wouldn't necessarily think they would bother to do.
Yeah. So. And, I mean, with rubber, my main worry is, will it disintegrate or not?
Oh, yeah.
But with rubber, let me tell you about rubber. Something condoms. What?
What?
But with DX9 so far, with the modern DX9, I've not had too much trouble with just general build quality, and the rubber on their Crasher Kokomones wheels feels all right. So we'll see how it turns out.
Looks like keeping up the fine tradition of Galvatron's alt mode being weird.
Yep, this is like
just strange. Space cannon, I guess. Not really a tank or a gun. It has treads and a skid.
I like that they kind of added rocket boosters to the back of it with his kneecaps.
Yeah.
So it's like, yo, it can fly. I'm like, all right, sure. The main thing about the cannon mode on a Galvatron is whether or not he just looks like a robot who's lying down. And there's enough of a cylindrical kind of shape to the meat of the cannon that makes me feel satisfied looking at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I already have one Galvatron by DX9 called Tyrant, but he's a pocket size one. So I guess maybe I also just am biased because I already kind of enjoy the little guy. Anyway, did I put this into our topic list for later? I did not. I'm going to copy paste it in now. Here I go. Ooh. All right, that's our new picture pick section. a couple little tidbits out there that I don't really have much to say about, but, you know, there's a whole bunch of test shot figures getting photos taken of them. There's like a test shot of Combiner Wars Onslaught with a Armada Demolishor head sculpt, which makes me very excited if that means there's going to be four more Armada Decepticon retools to combine with him, because I like the Armada Decepticons.
Yeah.
But I don't really have much to say other than that. Also, there was a test shot of Deluxe Fracture from the current RID cartoon, and some might think, given the way I've talked about the idea of that toy, I might be excited. But no, I'm not excited yet, because I do not believe the toy exists until I'm opening it when it comes to the RID line. That line is so kicked to the curb by everyone involved that, hey, there's a test shot. Cool. Does that mean he's going to come out? I don't know. I won't believe it till I have bought one and I'm playing with it. I've had dreams that went like this, where I had a dream. This couple times I have a dream and I end up in like a toy store and they've got all this really cool stuff that doesn't exist, but then in the dream it does exist, but it's rare and then it's all cheap and I'm like, all right, and I like collect a bunch, put it in my cart, I pay for it, and then I wake up and I never get to open it. So until I've opened that thing and I've transformed that toy, it's not happening as far as I'm concerned. And then once I've transformed it, maybe this is in fact reality, or it's a really vivid dream. There's your test shot update, dude. Your test shot Tuesday update, because it's Tuesday the 22nd.
Hey man, what if like the whole universe is just some kid's dream, man?
That'd be screwed up. The thing, whenever I think about that scenario, I'm like, what does it mean that we as aspects of somebody's dream are able to think ourselves? Like, what does that mean? Or like
what if the whole universe is like the end of Saint Elsewhere and it's just in the imagination of an autistic child staring into a snow globe?
Well, the thing is, okay, there's a TV show that had a big twist ending that revealed like huge chunks of the show were a dream or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the show,
I think maybe Dallas did that. There was some
Dallas
like, prime time.
Dallas had a season that was a dream.
Okay,
but no, there's another show. It's a remake of a UK show. I don't want to say it because I don't want to spoil it, just in case. But it had this big reveal that, you know, most of the show actually was like a dream or whatever. And the thing is that characters who were entirely characters of the dream, who had no counterparts in the real world, so like characters who were entirely constructs of the shared dream, had solo scenes by themselves that characters who were witnessing the dream were not present for. And so I was like, well then what the hell were those scenes? Why did these two characters who were supposed to be part of this shared simulation go off and do something by themselves? Why did we get to see it, and what does that mean? And I mean, what it means is that the twist ending was written at the last minute after those scenes had been shot, but still made me think, you know.
Deep.
Yeah. You know what else is deep? This listener question. It's not actually that deep, but it's got two questions in it.
Okay.
This comes from RM Stunticon, who says, hello, Vangelis, TJ, and Seth Aaron. So Seth, I guess like you and Aaron are kind of a conjoined spot now.
Yeah, I don't like this person that wrote the question.
He says this is a quote-unquote remarkable two-in-one deal, which basically means he's cheating the system and asking us two questions and wants to know if that's a no-no. No, we have a long history of answering far more than two questions, in fact, at times.
Yeah, or like when you're not here, like a whole bunch of really awful wrestling questions.
I was not here, and Seth did an admirable job fielding all of that Twitter input.
I read every question that came in the order they were received.
That's the way you do it.
Shenanigans. There was no funny business.
Yeah.
Just read them straight through.
Honest and transparent. Ethical. But the first question is, what do you all think is the worst idea to ever be placed inside of any Transformers fiction, in your opinion? So I'm just going to lay out, let's remove the like ever to be placed ever part and just say a bad idea, because worst idea means we're going to end up second guessing ourselves over and over again. So this way, just rattle off a bad idea. Seth, have you got one?
I mean, there's lots of weird stuff that like happened in G1, like weird one-off episodes, like a bunch of characters ending up in medieval England and hanging out with Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could argue that large portions of the movie fiction are the worst thing to ever happen. But, yeah, I can't think of, like, a specific, like, oh my god, this is the most terrible fiction aspect. And I've been trying to rack my brain since, like, just before we started recording when I saw the question.
Yeah, yeah. Like, trying to remember, like, a moment where you just went, like, ah! Or something.
Yeah, like in the way Cybertron was getting pulled through the space bridge, I had some issue with that, because wasn't it something like a chunk of Cybertron gets chopped off or something?
Yeah, in the third movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pulled through, then the portal closes and lops off a chunk of the planet and appears to destroy the rest with the feedback, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah, and then they never seem to really be concerned, like, going into the fourth movie.
Burned up in the atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, if we could just get stuck on complaining about aspects of the movie, but I don't know, like, I guess some people could criticize the Quintessons. Well, that little monkey dude from G1 that was the supposed creator of the Transformers.
Yeah, Primacron. Yeah. Primacron.
I don't like that. I don't like that part.
Yeah, the, oh, here I go again. I'm good. Hi. Call the Primitives, that episode everyone loves to talk about is, like, the best animated episode of G1. It's got, like, all the Beast Transformers getting together. That episode also has Primacron in it, and it has Tornatron in it, and it talks all about how Unicron was built by a little monkey guy. So it's, like, a really pretty episode with, like, the worst plot ever in all of G1. Not in all of G1. I'm hyperbolizing. But a terrible plot! And, yeah, I hate that monkey guy. He's dumb. He's got a dumb voice, too. He all, like, talks like this, because he's an alien.
What are your dumb things?
I have something that is the worst thing ever in trans. I have a worst thing ever that I can drop.
Boy, you really hate Daniel.
Friggin', yeah. No, it's, I've said it before. Transformers Superlink, known as Transformers Energon stateside.
Oh, yeah.
It could have carried on all of these character plot threads from Armada. It started to, and then all the Decepticons from Armada got mind wiped. And all their plot threads just got dropped. And that was it. And then Cybertron was, like, animated to not even be connected to the other two. So it was all ruined. The whole point of having a trilogy was completely ruined by the second part. And on both America and in Japan.
Yeah.
Completely ruined. With mind wiping.
Yeah, that first episode, I remember thinking, like, wow, this is really interesting. Like, here's these Decepticons from Armada that are now kind of working with the Autobots, but maybe feel weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that turned into a bunch of nothing. And then I stopped caring and didn't watch the show anymore.
Yeah, by halfway through the show, we were back to just a status quo of a bunch of good guys and a bunch of bad guys. And, like, that was it. And like I've said many times, they frigging had a ghost who looked like Armada Starscream. They had Alexis, who was, like, who cared greatly for Armada Starscream, in the show. They were both in the show. Never met once in, like, 52 episodes because of mind wiping, partly. And also because apparently it's argued that that might have actually not been Starscream's ghost at all. It just looked like him or something, which is a bunch of garbage baloney. It clearly was supposed to be Starscream's ghost.
Another seeker ghost floating around.
If that wasn't supposed to be Starscream's ghost, then that's the second worst idea they could have ever had. anyway, that's mine. We do have another question in this two-for-one deal, which is asking what our thoughts are about the Oculus Rift, seeing as it's coming out Q1 next year for normal civilians for either $200 or £200, which doesn't seem like proper conversion to me.
Somebody's getting a deal, and somebody's getting ripped off.
Yep. Yeah, and I, like, you know, talking about the Oculus Rift, I'm sure we could mention all the other VR solutions, of which I've actually lost track of how many there are. I think Sony's Morpheus is the other big one.
And well, then there's the... Is it HTC Vive? I know there's one called the Vive. I'm not certain it's HTC that is making it.
And then Microsoft isn't VR, it's AR, so it's technically a separate thing.
Yeah, HoloLens and the super amazing demo they had at E3 is apparently not really representation of the field of view that you get through the HoloLens.
Or at least as of current, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, speaking mostly about the Oculus is that's the one where they've been using, like, touch controls, right? Or, like, motion controls, if I recall correctly.
Okay, it is HTC that is doing the Vive. Now I'm trying to remember. I think the Vive has, it's like two controls, that one that you hold in each hand.
Yeah.
And there's been demos where, like, two people with Vive headsets in the same VR world, the lag is so low, like, one guy is tossing his control to the other guy who's catching it.
Yeah.
And then somebody is, I think, teaming up with Steam.
Is that
Vive?
I thought Oculus was the one who teamed up with either Steam or somebody else who had a good control mechanism for them.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track because there's a bunch of people making headsets.
But it's not just a bunch of people, but also a bunch of people who then all sort of started halfway partnering up with each other.
Yeah.
In general, from what I've heard from reports of at least, like, the last big event to show it off, modern VR sounds super, super interesting to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like what I always wanted it sounds like a dream from when I was a kid that is now reality, which is the kind of technology I like the most.
It's what everyone, like, when the first kind of VR attempt happened in the 90s, it sounds like it's what everyone thought that was going to be and absolutely wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and, like, Oculus has John Carmack working with them.
Yeah.
Still? Co-founder. As far as I know, he's still there.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he left id to go work full-time at Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he became interested. Like, it was an interesting problem to solve, making VR work.
Yeah, yeah. And,
like, that audiobook, I forget what it was called. But it was, like, the Men Who Made Doom or the Masters of Doom, something like that. It was a while ago that I listened to it. It sounds like that's like John Carmack's primary motivation in life was figuring out how to make things work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was really hype about the Oculus and still am, but also I've been hearing a lot of really good stuff about the Vive, and it sounds like those are the two front runners.
Mm-hmm.
And Morpheus sounds like it's kind of sunk into the background.
Yeah, the main thing about Morpheus that I think is cool is that I have two PlayStation Move controllers that I got them cheap and I use them for that archery game. And, like, there's barely any games that use the Move controllers, but the ones that are there, it's really nice motion control. So, yeah. Like, there's built-in, like, working control technology on their end. But then the other ones excite me because I've totally been won over by the notion of VR less as, like, a gaming device and more as, like, a medium in which to experience digital media and interact and who knows what else, like the weird kind of hippie digital future talk. I'm super into that kind of idea of, like, going into these spaces where instead of us, like, sharing space on, like, a text-based, image-based, you know, discussion feed, we could be meeting virtually pseudo face-to-face and being able to physically, quote-unquote, physically interact in, like, a virtual space.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really cool. Like the thing of, like, throwing you a ball or something.
Right. And Steven Spielberg is working on the feature film adaptation of Ready Player One.
Yes.
Which takes place almost entirely in a VR world. If there isn't some sort of Ready Player One VR experience to come out around the same time, nobody did their jobs right.
Yeah, I hope it can take off and become just like like another hardware platform, not just for, like, what was the notion? The notion that gaming would be the least important thing in VR is the idea that I'm really into. And that, like, the really cool stuff that you could do in VR, like, we just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. Like the way Ready Player One kind of depicts VR is, like, that's where kids go to school. Like, they don't necessarily go to a school. They put on their headsets, and then they're assigned to this virtual reality school.
Yeah.
And business takes place, and, like, there's commerce in there. And I don't know, it's kind of like what you saw in Second Life when that was really booming.
Mm-hmm.
How there were people, and I assume there still are.
Oh yeah,
that make a living off of creating mods and costumes and buildings and stuff that other players buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting future that I'm looking forward to seeing more of.
Yeah, like it's the first step towards the notion of no longer needing to create a representation of your vision in an art medium, but now being able to, like, it's not there yet, but it's getting one step closer to just being able to share directly what your idea is. Because now there's, like, this potential shared virtual space in which, like, all, you know, viewers can inhabit the piece, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I think it's really exciting, and I hope it works. I think that the number of people working on it is kind of confidence boosting to me, because that means it, like, any good hardware has got to have, it can't just be one person making it, because then it'll just be a weird niche thing and that's about it. But lots of people working on the same idea, I think, is it's just like I think about smartphones and, like, how those weren't even a concept a couple years ago. A couple years ago, but, you know, some years ago. The iPhone and the Android, like, they weren't things that even one thought of.
Well, what people refer to as smartphones before the iPhone and then Android were not what you consider a smartphone now. It was stuff like a BlackBerry that had a keyboard.
Yeah,
And a little bit of digital assistance kind of stuff.
And so I think about, you know, with that as an example of something that, you know, 1 year in still accessible memory was not even a concept anyone considered realistic, and now we all utterly take for granted. Like, that's what I mean by using, like, the idea of VR and then creating some experience that we'll eventually all just go, like, yeah, that's what it's for. But right now, we don't even have any, like, semblance or fathoming as a general public of what that even could be.
Uh-huh.
And that's, to me, like, that's the really exciting thing about any emergent technology. Is, like, the stuff that I can't think of because I'm not a specialist in that area, so why should I be able to think of it? That if I'll just start taking for granted. Like, just, I always stop and think, like, I'm carrying this iPhone around, and I'm, like, just walking down the street going, I'm going to go check on Twitter while I wait for the stop sign. And, like, how ridiculous that would sound to me, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, I just had one of those realization moments yesterday. Where, like, my battery was getting low at work. Like, I'm just coming off of lunch, and I'm watching YouTube videos all during my lunch break. I'm like, I'll just plug in my phone while I do this other thing nearby. And then I'm just thinking, like, I was just watching full-screen, high-quality video that I'm pulling out of the air. I'm not even on Wi-Fi. Like,
yeah.
It's just cellular data. And it was no problem. Like, it loads and starts almost instantly, and holy crap.
Yeah.
I love this little black rectangle.
Just the idea of something that in a moment right now, we could all be taking for granted that, like, you know, not a very long time ago, you would just think is science fiction, or even, like, to bring it to a Transformers example, nowadays, we're all like, oh, the third party is there. That's where I go to get my expensive combiners. Why haven't they made one right yet that I want of this guy? And then, like well under 10 years ago, the idea of posable Constructicons turning into a Devastator who's, like, over a foot tall was ridiculous, and that's never going to happen. And now we as a fandom in general take that utterly for granted to an almost insulting degree. Like, think about that, too, when you think about, like, you know, the notion that you as the as yourself, you actually don't know the limits of what could come out in your fields of interest in the next couple of years. That's something I noticed, like, when people talk about like franchises they're into or hobbies they're into, where they're like, well, I don't, like, you know, I don't see how they could do anything that I'd be interested in after this. I think I'm done after this. And it's like, yeah, but you don't make the things that you collect them. So despite, like, you have a knowledge of how they're made for sure, and you have like a place you can speak from, but at the end of the day, you don't work in the field. You've never made a, like, you know, for instance, a Transformer yourself. How do you know that any limit has been hit yet? Like, just look at some of the stuff we're buying now and in the last, like, 3 or 4 years, and then go back to the days of the Unicron trilogy and tell you that that's going to come out. It's I don't know. It's, I think perspective is so very important to not become, like, a combination of jaded and greedy.
It's like, hey, 80s kids, here's a version of Devastator that's bigger than you imagined him to be when you were a child.
Yeah.
what do you have to say about that? Scrapper's elbows don't bend. It's garbage.
I want to be the 80s kid who's super mad about Scrapper's elbows. And I, you know, I'll also say this. I'm not saying this to say don't complain about stuff, because you should complain about stuff and critique stuff. But, like, just every now and then, check yourself and check your perspective.
Check your privilege, bro.
And check your privilege, because why not? If you're already checking one thing, check them all while you got your pants down. But, you know, just every now and then, if you start getting kind of, like, jaded or like, you know, how do I put this? If you're grumbling in a deadpan voice and you're unimpressed in general at most things you're seeing, then you are perhaps taking for granted most things you're seeing.
Yeah.
Unless you're a genius who actually creates stuff, in which case we're waiting for your next visionary thing that will change the world. But if you're just a general Joe somebody who collects stuff and does a job and has, you know, regular Joe somebody's dreams and aspirations, then don't worry about it. There are people whose entire lives are based on creating stuff that's unimaginable. So think about it, but then if you can't think of the answer, eventually, and I don't mean this as an insult, it's, there are people who are smarter than you are in some fields who are probably thinking of a better answer already.
Yeah.
So have a little bit of, like, hey, let's just give it a year or two, and then we'll see where we go from here. But,
like, going kind of back to the VR thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm really excited to experience VR in my house and see what becomes of it. And I really want AR for walking around in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they can figure out how to do Google Glass in a way that isn't awful and makes people angry and fight outside of bars, which is apparently what happened. What was I listening to? I think some technology show I was listening to, Google filed some sort of patent for what is ostensibly a contact lens version of Google Glass.
Yeah.
Like, if I can have something that is unobtrusive in my vision when I'm out in life, walking around, that overlays pertinent information. And, like, a lot of people are really uptight about things like facial recognition. Like, oh, my privacy. It's like, well, you don't really have any. That's an illusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want facial recognition and something like that. I want... If I run into somebody I don't remember and they're like, hey, like, I want to eliminate that awkward thing. And, like, oh boy, it's such an unimportant problem to have in the world that you don't remember this person from 20 years ago. But just have their name pop up next to their dopey face, recognized face. So I could be like, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Or have directions in my vision. As I'm, like, walking down the street, like, I don't know where this restaurant is. Pop it into the thing, boom, boom. Now there's arrows floating in my vision, letting me know which street I need to go down.
You have to look down at your phone over and over again.
Right, because if you're pulling your phone out and looking at it, then the terrible people know that you're, like, a tourist or something, and they run up, punch you in the face, and steal your phone.
Yeah.
Which is apparently becoming a giant problem in San Francisco. If you come to visit San Francisco, keep your phone in your pocket.
Yeah, I heard something about in San Francisco and in Toronto that if you walk around with your phone out in one hand on the side of the street, sometimes someone on a bicycle might just come by really fast and try to snatch it.
Oh, I've heard a story in San Francisco. Somebody will punch you in the face and then take it. And while you're like trying to figure out why your face is being punched, they're gone.
That doesn't sound very plur to me. I thought San Francisco was all about plur.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised.
Oh, man. But yeah.
If you're going to San Francisco, make sure to keep your phone in your pocket, dummy.
I like the idea of augmented reality, but I am entirely aware of the fact that if that becomes mainstream, it will also mean that I'll be walking around and weird advertisements will start popping up all over the place.
That's like unfortunate, but...
like in Minority Report or whatever it was.
Oh, this is what's going to happen. Like, okay, so you know how you'll be browsing the web, but you use Adblock or something, don't you?
Yeah, I've used
it. So you probably don't see this. But you'll go to a web page, like someone like me that doesn't, will go to a web page, and there'll be ads on the page advertising the last thing I looked at on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Amazon tech, isn't it? Like the whole, like...
Yeah, but now imagine you have your surgically implanted AR lenses because you just have your eyeballs replaced, yep. Which is, you know, sign me up. I'll take those too. And now billboards that are out in the world, like if you don't have crazy cyber eyes, don't look like anything. But then for all of us who have the crazy cyber eyes, we're seeing ads.
Yeah,
that are tailored to us specifically.
And then somebody hacks your eyes, and instead of seeing ads, you see the billboard just actually come in to try to kill you. And yeah. You're like, ah! And then everyone looks at you like you're crazy.
The data we collected on you from using your supermarket membership card that tracks all your purchases, we know you really like Ben & Jerry's Chunky Monkey ice cream. And now here's an ad for Ben & Jerry's Chunky Monkey ice cream on the side of this 50-story building, and you're the only one seeing it.
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be a beautiful, dark future.
And I'm excited about where the hell technology goes and how much it will match up to, like, science fiction novels. Like, how much we're just going to make Nostradamuses of past authors.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, in short, I think Oculus Rift is cool, and I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to play with one someday, but I'm super wary of ever doing a public demo of one because of that whole thing about a pink eye thing that went around one year. And like, I know that they probably are now taking extra precautions about that, but I'm just now terrified of ever putting on a headset someone else has used. Because what if they just wipe their dirty eyes around in it a whole bunch?
Have you read Ready Player One?
No, I haven't.
It's not a large book. It doesn't take too long to get through. I listened to the audiobook as read by Will Wheaton.
Mm.
But without really saying anything specific, there's going to be a lot of licenses to get to really do it as it is. And so for a lot of the story, it's going to be like old video game licenses, which, you know, probably shouldn't be that big of a deal. But there's a scene to the end or near the end that might be a little more difficult because it's a lot of Japanese licenses, like not video game licenses, from like different studios and companies out of Japan. And sometimes my understanding is they don't like working together. And if they can get that all sorted, and if they can do that scene in the movie as it is in the book, if you like Japanese robots, classic Japanese robots, you are going to love this movie.
The current Metal Gear Solid game that just came out was able to license something from Mazinger Z, so sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Anyway, I hope that answered your listener question. We're going to close this one off with a little bit of what we got this week. I know something Seth got this week that I'm all excited to hear about, but before we talk about that... I'll get there. Well, we're going to talk about Transformers first. I have not gotten any new Transformers, because as I said last week I talked about getting the Wave 4 guys, so what else am I going to get now?
That's exactly the same boat I'm in. Odd number, I talked about getting the Wave 4 guys. You got on the last show, you guys talked about it way more. I was just like, hey, you know what you're getting into with these, and done.
I had some things to say. I have well, a...
So, in, like, the, my last couple trips to Targets and Toys R Us's, I just... I go to the Transformer section, and I go, I know there's nothing here that I want, because I have everything that I want.
Yeah, I mean...
But I look anyway.
All I can find, potentially now, is whenever Battlecore Optimus comes out stateside, or Canada side, specifically.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, until we find out when the Combaticons are coming out, I'm... Maybe, I don't know, that and Warrior Fracture, if that ever actually becomes a reality. Like, I don't know what else I'm going to get. Which is a nice problem to have, to not need to get stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially when you're way too busy trying to move.
Yeah, so Seth, the first thing, not the thing I was talking about before, the first thing you got this week is a much more imminent move on the weekend.
Yep, on Saturday.
Yeah. You psyched?
I'm really excited to be done with the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to have a weekend where I don't have to be running up and down stairs carrying heavy boxes.
Yeah. If you could do it again, and if it was feasible to do this, would you want to do it all in just one big crazy day?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because it's like we've been chipping away at it. So we did, what, 5 carloads over the weekend, and if we didn't get distracted by something, we would have gotten at least one more carload done on Sunday, but we got distracted, and it was real dumb.
Yeah.
Probably a big mistake.
Well, speaking of someone who did do it all in one big crazy thing a couple of years ago, it super sucks to do it all in one big crazy thing. It's really great when it's all done and it's just you and all your giant amount of whatever you have that all just arrived with you over the course of like 3 hours. And then you just fall asleep for the rest of the day.
Yeah. But, well, with how we're timing it all out, like we'll have the following weekend if we need to do anything else, like if not everything makes it, or if, and we most likely do need to come back and do some cleaning to try to mitigate how much of our security deposit we're going to lose, and we're definitely going to lose some of it. It's very clear that that's how this property management company works, is there's no way you're getting out of here with everything. Like, I think we're going to get charged at least for carpet cleaning, maybe other cleaning. When the window got smashed and my backpack stolen, one of our garage door openers was in there. So that's, I think that's going to be $35. So, yeah, I'm expecting a lot of dings, but we want to mitigate as many of those dings as possible.
Yeah. Well, as I said 2 weeks ago, I wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be fine.
All right, keep us updated. You know, live tweet the whole process. That certainly won't add even more stress to what's going on. But Seth, I didn't get anything this last week at all to talk about. I've just been sitting here being sick. So, Seth, I know you got one off-topic kind of thing, because I saw a picture on Twitter. But what did you get that's off-topic this week?
Well, last time I had gotten some stuff that I forgot to mention.
Uh-oh!
So the most recent wave of blind pack Lego minifigs.
Oh yeah, the Halloween ones.
Yeah. Wait a second, I just had to take care of a text. I'm done.
All right.
I'm not talented at texting and talking at the same time.
I'm not either. Yeah, it's either I'm silent or I'm going duh the whole time I'm texting.
Yeah. So we wandered into a Target and we saw an end cap display and we're like, oh my God. And we found just under half of the wave before we were like, okay, we're two adults feeling bags. We got to get out of here. It's starting to get weird. Then we ended up at another Target a few days later and found everything except for the, like zombie office worker businessman guy. And it was like, wow, we went through every bag here and we can't find the zombie guy. What a bummer. And then I think a day after that, we went back to the Target. We went to the first time to see if we could find the zombie guy. And as we're walking up to where the end cap was, they had exactly 4 bags left. And we're like, oh man, there's only 4 bags here. What are the odds one of these are going to be zombie businessman office worker guy that we need? And we start feeling the bags. All 4 of them were that guy.
Oh, wow. So
this is incredible. We only need one, but hooray, this is perfect. So we got the whole wave in just a couple of days. And then I was grateful to not have to worry about it again.
Nice. I'm thinking of going to the the Lego store on October 1st because like the 1st to the 4th is double points. Uh-huh. So I'm going to go there on the 1st because I'm leaving for BC on the 2nd. So I'm going to go on the 1st and just buy a whack of those Halloween minifigs if they're still there. Mm-hmm. Get some double points and I'll open them in Victoria and have a fun thing I can do in Victoria.
Cool. Yeah, the ghosts are kind of neat. There's 2 ghosts. One of them is like a lady with frizzy hair and it looks like she's crying. And the other one has a hood and like a chains. But the lower ghost body is pretty neat. I don't know if they've used it before. They probably have. But it's transparent plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they paint a little bit of it, which gives it more of a smoky, not just clear plastic effect that I think is pretty cool.
Oh,
I really like the look of them. And, it's a decent wave. There's a couple, like, kind of characters, but there always are. But it's pretty good. It's a pretty good wave. Nice. So then this last Sunday, just a couple days ago,
mm-hmm.
Because we knew Skylanders were coming.
Yes.
And we had talked about it and we were both feeling kind of like, Skylanders, it's so expensive. And Lego Dimension seems more exciting right now. Maybe we pass on Skylanders and go for Lego. And as we're heading to Target, we were going to get like some big plastic bins to start throwing crap into for the move. And it kind of came up. I'm like, yeah, it feels weird not looking for the Skylanders because we're so complete on the games that have already come out to kind of turn our backs on this game is, I don't know, it just feels weird. And like the wall when you first go into a Target that has like that week's deals posted up, there's like a whole page for the new Skylanders, and I forgot that that's like today those are out. And then we get back toward the where they have the video games and stuff, and I'm like, well, let's just look. And there was a Target exclusive helicopter. And then they're one of the drivers. So like the basic size figures now are called drivers. Is like this undead mariachi, and his gun looks like a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this mask over his undead face that's sort of like a Mexican style Day of the Dead looking thing, but like a lot simplified. But it's like that's kind of what they're invoking. And we're just like, man, this guy looks so cool. And then we found the undead car, which is like a coffin. Like, man, are we falling for this again? Are we falling into this trap? I think we're falling into this trap. Well, Toys R Us has a BOGO offer. So if we're doing this, we got to go to Toys R Us and we'll at least save some money on it. And then one of the merciful things is this initial release is a lot smaller than some of the past games.
Yeah.
Like there were fewer figures to get. So we're still out a couple $100, but we ended up with 2 starter sets. And we didn't get the individually packed Terrafin, the new Terrafin, because I found a checklist online of like the Wave 1, and there's a figure and vehicle 2 packs that that they didn't have at Toys R Us, and the Terrafin doubles in that. So if we had bought the individual and then got the two-pack to get the vehicle, then we would have ended up with an extra Terrafin. So we didn't get Terrafin, but we got everything else they had at Toys R Us, including their one exclusive figure, and we had grabbed the exclusive vehicle at Target. And then we tried to find the exclusive figure that was supposed to be at Best Buy, but they didn't have anything. Best Buy stinks.
Blah.
And then there's supposed to be an exclusive GameStop figure, but I haven't had a chance to look for that one yet. But yeah, we fell in the Skylander trap again.
All I wanted to throw in there is I saw the picture of the undead guy in his car, and the undead guy looked pretty cool, and I can completely empathize with that setting off the chain reaction.
Yeah, and so we bought them all at Toys R Us and then drove back to the new house and put them in the new house, and that's it. We haven't opened them. We haven't played the game yet. It's like, okay, we're just going to stick these in the new house and keep moving with our day, because this could have been at least one more load of stuff we brought over, if not two, the time we spent doing this. So,
well, I can also sympathize, because as you may have heard last week, I now also have a Toys to Life toy, technically.
Yeah, you Amiibo freak.
I don't actually have the Amiibo, because it was off Amazon.com, so it went to Kryn. So she has it right now.
Do you have a different Toys to Life thing, then?
No, that's my Toys to Life thing that I have. I bought an Amiibo once, so I know what it's like for you people.
Well,
I've been there.
Be super glad you're not an Amiibo completionist.
Oh, I am.
Because you would have had to buy 4 starter sets of this Skylander game.
Yep.
Because the Bowser figure comes with the Wii version, and the Donkey Kong comes with the Wii U version. And then there's dark versions of both. So the standard starter set is like 70-something bucks, and the dark starter set is 99 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So two regulars and two dark sets.
Oh, I'm very glad I'm not a completionist. I'm never going to be. And the only reason I bought this Amiibo is because I was really tired and sick, and then Nick tweeted, "Hey, you can get the Pixel Mario Amiibo Japanese version here." And then I was like, well, that was the cool-looking one. I'll get that. And then I went to sleep and then woke up and was like, wait, why do I have an email saying I bought an Amiibo? And I was like, okay, well, I guess I did my one. So, yeah, I've spectated Amiibo enough to know that I'm very fortunate to not have any kind of draw.
Yeah, we're rationalizing that they're not really Skylanders, so we don't have any need for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but so, you could be playing them in the game if you had them.
Yeah, but they're not really Skylanders. They're interlopers.
Well, no, they are Skylander / Amiibo pieces. You see, you twist the base.
Yeah, great. Now, I didn't really research them that much, but so if you get those figures, because any Amiibo figure works in any version of the game, so does that mean you can have Donkey Kong on your PlayStation or Xbox?
I guess so.
I didn't really look into seeing if there was anything that blocked those characters for the non-Nintendo versions.
I've got to assume that... I mean, well... Actually, no, I don't have to assume, because there have been weirder things.
I can see all the companies not wanting that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see Nintendo not wanting their characters on competing systems, and I could see competing systems not wanting... the phone to ring.
Ah. A number station just called Seth. It's telling him who the Russians are about to assassinate. I heard a 10, I think. So 10, if we run that through, you know, all known ciphers, that brings us to Enron. So take Enron. Yeah, basically the Russians are going to put a hit out on L. Ron Hubbard.
They're too late. Anyway, so
yeah,
I really hate that the phone is in this room, but I'm also really kind of amazed that it took this long. Like it took an entire year of doing podcasts in this room with a phone not 2 feet away from the microphone before that finally happened.
Man.
That's amazing.
It's like the house wants to leave its one final mark.
Yeah. And I hate that this phone yells out the caller ID. I think it's incredibly irritating, but it's what happens when you get your telephone from Comcast, I guess.
That's what happens when the ellipses Comcast.
No, I don't even remember what we were talking about. We were talking about Amiibos and Donkey Kong and stuff, right?
Danky Kang.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on, achieving another Skylander goal.
Yep. The biggest goal.
Yeah, these ones have cars. Vroom, vroom.
And helicopters and boats and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, man.
Airplanes and space rockets, I think.
I need to look for those so I can look at them as I do all the Toys to Life toys and go and find the demo station and try to set them off.
Well, just get Fiesta. That's the undead mariachi looking guy.
Oh, so I have my one Skylander?
Yeah, and put him next to your one Amiibo.
Oh, then I gotta go get my one Disney Infinity guy.
Right.
Oh, and then I can claim that I know everything about Toys to Life.
Until the Lego Dimensions.
Get one set of Lego Dimensions, put them next to those. And I can market myself out as a Toys to Life journalist / expert. And all my opinions are based on these four toys I have.
And none of the games that go with them.
No, just the toys. My opinions on the games are based on me watching videos of the games being played.
It'd be better if you just made up your own game based on what the figure looked like.
Yeah. Just tell them there's some game I played that uses all four systems. And that it was very amazing. It was very granular. And there was a lot of critical path in the single player experience. 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Before we wrap the show, can I plug a charity?
You may.
I know I'm not Aaron, but...
You're not, no.
And I know this isn't fun video game charity like Aaron does, but I did this last year, and I've been pretty slack on kind of advertising it this year, but I'm doing Steptember again.
Steptember!
Right. So this is one where... we're collecting money and the people participating. We don't play video games all day. We have to get out and walk. And we're supposed to walk 10,000 footsteps a day. And I do that easily at work. It's much harder on the weekends when I'm trying to relax. But if you would like to donate, please go to steptember.us. Click on the donation button, and then you can search team members for my name, Seth Erickson. That's Erickson is how you spell Erickson, or our family's version of Erickson. There's like 20 ways to do it. Then you'll find me, and then you could donate to my team vis-a-vis that. So if you don't know, or if you'd like to know where this money's going, so in our case, we're raising money for UPC of the North Bay. It's an organization that provides educational, recreational, and employment programs for children and adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities.
Hmm.
So they provide a wide range of job programs for the adults, depending on the level of their disability. It could be very simple jobs that are performed at the facility to... job placement programs where they receive additional training at that job and just have a job. Just they help these folks get just normal jobs. Like there's a big hardware store here in town, Freeman Brothers, and they have at least two employees that came through that program. And then, you know, they also provide, like, additional education for those folks, and it's just it's a good deal. Oh, and specifically UPC of the North Bay, for their participants that work through them, either at the facility or doing things like they clean and maintain bus stops and do like litter abatement at a lot of the local parks. Those folks make minimum wage, and a lot of similar organizations pay sub minimum wage. So it's a better deal. So if you could throw a couple of bucks at the problem, I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you.
No, Seth, thank you.
No, Evangelist, thank all of us, I guess. I don't know.
All of us here at WTF and TFW. Yeah, go check out that link. Help out if you can. Do some stepping.
I mean, it's not as much fun donating to Aaron, where you could pay a certain amount of money and then make him play a terrible video game.
It's true.
For a specific amount of time. Like, you can't make me do nothing.
Or, like, the time when me and Kryn just, like, caught that he was streaming something and he was offering to do stuff. We actually weren't even watching. So we just threw some money at him and said, do something horrible. Then we tuned in and saw what was happening. And then tuned out again. It was pretty funny.
Just like, tell him to eat a bug. Like... Here's 50 bucks. Eat a bug, dork.
They were playing some zombie game. Like, what do you want to do? And I said, like, just do whatever would be the most disruptive to your game. And so they, like, rolled a bunch of extra dice. And then apparently I caused a massive disruption to the game. Because they got, like, some horde mode wave thing where, like, 10 times the number of zombies they would usually be dealing with showed up. And then, like, half their party died. And I was like, yeah, for the kids. Have fun. So I helped out children. Well, Kryn helped out children. I helped out annoy Aaron after Kryn helped out children. I pat myself on the back.
Yeah. I just all like right. Annoying Aaron.
Yeah, I do. It's a way of living.
I mean, he just deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Lego fans. Saying, yeah. He was saying last time that for some volume of money, he's going to shave his goatee for like the first time in untold years.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of the last time I was clean shaven, which was like 98 or 99. Was the last time I went completely clean shaven. And I finished and I looked in the mirror and I said, ha, like, gotta grow everything back.
I have
a terrible mistake.
I haven't gotten rid of everything in a long time, so I'm going to give that a shot, I think, in the next, sometime in the winter or fall, whenever. Just see what happens.
Every now and then I think about it. Like, my girlfriend has never seen me clean-shaven, besides, like, high school pictures.
Yeah.
And I don't want to scare her away. So
I'm just worried about what might be lurking underneath all this, like, admittedly not very long fuzz on my face. Like, what if my face just comes off with it? What if it's been attached this whole time?
What if somebody drugged you and tattooed something terrible underneath?
Yeah. What if from the future I came back and drugged me and tattooed something there, and all that I've been waiting for is this moment when I finally see it to cause a bifurcation of the timeline and alter our own future?
Or when you finally see it, you get so mad at yourself for having done it, that's when you invent the time machine to go back in time and do it to yourself to punish yourself in the future for doing it in the first place.
I shave all the hair off and then just the words "don't shave" is underneath.
Yeah.
I'm like, no! On that dystopian note, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back again next week with some more Transformers talk. Take care.
Okay, bye.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.